Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A portion of God's word for our encouragement to go with the gospel is taken from the gospel, from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, named Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as a helper. Sends his portion of God's word. We are God's church, gathered to go. That's the call that our Savior gives us. One of the characteristics of God is that he can do anything that he wants. So the object for us who care about him is to try to understand or come to learn, what does God want? Well, how are we going to do that? Well, God could tell us, of course, and he does, in his spoken word that is written down in none other than Holy Scriptures, the Bible, which we have. There we have collected together God's will for past, for present, and for future. We know for sure from Scripture that God hates sin and hates the sinner, which includes each and every one of us. We know that from the Bible. We also know that God would not have anyone perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to take on human flesh as part of his plan. We know that because the Bible says so. We also know that Jesus lived a perfect life here. And even though he was perfect in every way, still he died a horrible death for sin. Not his sin. For the sin of the world, including your sin and mine. We know that because the Bible says so. We also know that because of Jesus' perfect life and innocent death, God has declared all people forgiven. Every sin paid for. Declared not guilty. In God's sight. We know that because the Bible says so. We also know that though the benefit from what Christ has done becomes ours personally when we are brought to faith by the work of the Holy Spirit. We know that because the Bible says so. And the Bible promises to create and strengthen faith through the gospel, the message of what Jesus has done, and through the sacraments, baptism and Lord's Supper. We know that because the Bible says so. We also know that the Almighty God could bring people to faith any way that he would decide to do. But we know that he has chosen to work through people. People like you and me, believers in Jesus Christ. We know that because the Bible says so. God has chosen to work through individual Christians, those gathered together in what we call congregations. And when congregations gather together in what we call a synod, he does that to share this most important, most precious, most vital news that could ever be shared. Our very familiar gospel reading from Matthew told us just that. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." Those people gathered there were to go. He says the same to us. Those people gathered here, go. Go and do what? Well, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the triune God, Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I'll be with you always, to the very end of the age. But what God hasn't told us is exactly how we're to carry out that great commission. Therefore, that allows a good deal of Christian freedom. Not to choose to keep the message to ourselves, but how are we going to do that? What is the most effective way? What is the most God-pleasing way that we can come up with to do that? But it is helpful to look at some of the early Christian churches and how they grew. Not that we're going to do the exactly same thing, because those are different times and different situations, but we can learn some principles, some God-given principles in ways that are pleasing to him. We are God's church, gathered to go. And we learn that God calls those he wants to be as specific sharers of the gospel. And he does that through the church. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Paul, Barnabas, and Saul for the work to which I have called them." We are now in the book of Acts. That most interesting history of the early church and how it grew and how it spread. There is recorded the events of Christ ascending into heaven. And shortly after that, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in a most powerful way and enabled those who had been gathered in an upper room afraid, the ability to speak in different languages, the languages of the people who had gathered in Jerusalem for that big festival, Pentecost, and the courage to do it. Acts also tells us about what happened soon after that, persecution, because Satan is alive. Persecution of those believers. And then the believers were scattered. But wherever they were scattered, they took the word with them and they shared the word. And as they did that, the Holy Spirit worked faith in people's hearts. And when there was a group of people in one area that came to believe in Jesus Christ, they formed congregations. We hear about Saul, who persecuted the Christians, was changed by Jesus appearing to him, converted to be a mighty warrior for Christ. We also learn about Peter, where Peter had to be taught several times that the Gentiles were just as important to Jesus and received salvation just like the Jewish people. One of these congregations that had gathered were gathered in a place called Antioch, which is just north of Israel. And we read, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I had called them.'" Now, Saul, here also Paul, and Barnabas were two men who were known for their love for Jesus and their ability and their desire to share him. They had told other people about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit had worked through them. Well, here they're told that the Holy Spirit chose those two men and set them apart to be full-time missionaries, full-time people who would share the gospel. So we learn a principle from this. We still use it today. We are God's church. And in this church, God calls those he wants to be specific sharers of the gospel through the church. So when we have a need here at Apostles For a teacher in our elementary school, a staff minister, or a pastor, as we have done pretty recently, we follow this procedure. Not that God gave from heaven this way of doing things that we follow, but this is a way that we agree to follow with other churches, a way that's been a blessing through the years, and a way that we think eliminates some of the dangers and some of the weaknesses. This is our system. We go to our church, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Church, through our district president, whose name is John Buchholz. And we give him a list of what we see are the needs and the things that would be a blessing to us to have in that teacher or that pastor or that staff minister or whoever we're calling. So then the district presidents go through a list, a file, if you will, of those who are serving in the church today and see if there are those who have those kinds of qualifications. In some situations, they might look at who's graduating from our teacher and our pastor training schools. And then we receive a list. And a number of you know what happens then, right? We get together, we see the list, they're having discussion on their abilities, their interests, and those kinds of things. And then, most interestingly and shocking to some people who this is new to, what do? We pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us to call that person he wants, and then we vote. We extend a call, and we believe the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us in the one that we extend the call to. Now, the person who receives the call, they understand also that this is not just a call from a congregation called apostles someplace in California, but it is a call that is sent by the Holy Spirit. And then their role, our role, is to make a prayerful and an informed decision led again by the Holy Spirit to where he would have us serve. That's our system. God blesses us through that system. Graduates from our teacher and pastor training schools are usually placed by the district presidents in their first call. Now, even though humans are involved, we pray and trust that the Holy Spirit is leading the entire process. And that's something that you gathered here today need to keep in mind. When you're unhappy with a pastor or a teacher, remember who put him here. The Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit put that person here through this call extended by our congregation. Remember that when the next time when you hear somebody complaining against a pastor or teacher or something that they did or didn't do, rather than going to that person themselves personally and discussing that as Scripture tells us we are to do. In tough times in the ministry, and yes, there are tough times, pastors and teachers know that. We still live in a sinful world. We have a sinful nature, and so do the people that we serve. In those kinds of tough times, it is this truth, this scriptural truth, that the Holy Spirit is the one who put that person there, the one who put me here. Not because I thought it'd be nice to live in San Jose for, you know, few years and enjoy the beautiful weather here and all the things like that. It's the Holy Spirit who brought us here. And that encourages us to keep being faithful in our teaching, in our preaching. Also remember God's plans are always perfect, but not the people trying to carry out those plans. And that's what the forgiveness that comes from Jesus and that we are encouraged to share with one another is all about. We are God's church, gathered to go. God calls and God sends his workers. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. We believe that God calls men and women to study for the ministry, to prepare themselves to do the work of sharing the gospel in the most effective way. And we have excellent schools to do just that. We also believe that the Holy Spirit understands the personal gifts that each one of these called workers has and knows the best place for them. Good to remember when a pastor or a teacher that you happen to like or have a close relationship moves away. And also one that you're not real fond of stays. Part of trusting God's gracious promises is trusting his plans to bless us to the people he brings to serve us in the public ministry, serving on behalf of God and on behalf of the congregation. When there are difficulties and concerns, God calls us to go to that person and talk to them. And if that doesn't seem to work it out, God has given us a board of elders that is there to help and support our members and our called workers. We are God's church, gathered to go. God calls, God sends, and God provides help. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was there as their helper. Some of you may be giving a sigh of relief. We're obviously almost at the end of the sermon, and Pastor hasn't mentioned too much that involves you or asks you to do yet. Not too many commitments. See, indeed, we believe that Scripture teaches God calls and God sends his workers, but also that God provides people to help. Sharing the gospel is not just for hired guns to do. The Great Commission was given to the church, and you are part of that church. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is part of that church and has been given that commission. You are to grow in your faith and understanding and your ability to share others this most important message. And you are to do that with your families and with your friends and your co-workers. Oh, indeed, we do call special people with gifts to be missionaries, either home missionaries or world missionaries. And you'll be seeing more about that in a video that's been produced during the offering today. And we support that with our offerings that we do give. God has blessed us to be able to do that. Go and make disciples of all nations. Not this little nation that we're in. But isn't it interesting what God has done? He has brought seemingly all nations to be around us. Maybe they're your neighbor. Maybe they live across the street. For sure you see them when you go shopping. Some of you who work at some of the industries and companies around here, you meet them every day. God gives you opportunities in ways that the companies allow for you to share your faith in Jesus, a faith that they desperately need also. Those called in the public ministry here at Apostles could never, ever do all the work that God has laid out before us. Opportunities abound. All the children's ministries, the youth ministries, the ministries going to nursing homes and places like that. In order for them to work and to work efficiently, we need help. And guess who God calls to help? That person that you look at each morning in the mirror. Each of you are given specific, unique gifts and given time and given abilities. And God understands that. And he doesn't expect us to do things that we're not equipped to do and not able to do. But those things that we are, he says, you go. You help. You be a part. You make cookies. You pray. Pray for those who are reaching out with the gospel. This is one of the real blessings that God has given to this church. And those of you who have been members of this church longer than I know that. This church has been given the gift of people willing to help. to give of their time and their abilities, be it a short amount of time or more time. See, young or old, tired or energetic, active or homebound, people in this congregation have stepped up. And as I think over the many years that I've been here and the children's ministries that are wide and varied of time and days and that, how many of you, hundreds of you and others that have walked arm in arm with the called workers to share the precious message of Jesus with young souls and their families. I mean, it's going to be exciting to be in heaven and seeing those people who came in contact with Jesus because of what you and others have done here at Apostles. This morning in the early service, we had the privilege of having the first full-time pastor here, Pastor Valesky and his wife, worship with us. And I am told by him and by Principal Springer and people like that, that it's always been that way. That those men came with the excitement and the willingness to share and to educate and equip the members who are gathered here to go with the gospel. How exciting that is. May you never tire in this effort. Time is short. Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back, it's going to be too late. The message is so precious and life-changing. Now, our roles may change as we get older, but our mission is still the same. Share the love of Jesus in every way possible so the Holy Spirit can work faith. And don't think that maybe you're disqualified because of failures or things that didn't work out in the past. Who was the one who God provided to help Paul and Barnabas? Did you catch who that was? That was John. None other than John Mark. Now, if you know anything about John Mark, very interesting. He was one who was excited to go with these two missionaries, and then for some reason got cold feet and left them, ran out on them. So Paul said, I ain't taking that John Mark along anymore. And Barnabas, who was related to him, said, no, give him another chance. So that's they split because of John Mark. But later on, Paul came to understand, and maybe John Mark grew up, came to understand that he was a great blessing. And he said, bring John Mark, because he is a great helpful to me. And guess who the Holy Spirit used to write the second gospel? None other than John Mark. The gospel according to Mark. The Holy Spirit used John Mark. Let the Holy Spirit use you. Because we are God's church, gathered to go. Amen.